بسم الله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله ومن ولا وبعد. This evening, بإذن الله تعالى, we're going to be looking at the topic of اتباع العلم بالعمل, يعني following knowledge with action. And we're going to be looking at this topic. It's a topic that we have discussed previously in our recent discussions from the advice of Al-Imam Abdulaziz Al-Ibaz, rahimahullah, and the necessity of acting upon knowledge. We're going to look at it a little bit further tonight with this topic that is from the Shaykh Abdus Salam Ibn Nasir Burgess, rahimahullah, may Allah have mercy upon him. And it is originally an advice to the Muslims in Britain. Before we look at this topic tonight, we're going to go back just a little bit to last week's session, or the previous few sessions. We discussed the advice of Al-Imam Abdulaziz Ibn Baz, rahimahullah, jazakallahu khair, it's a necessity. Bismillah. Alhamdulillah. In the advice of Al-Imam Abdulaziz Ibn Baz, rahimahullah, he mentioned five things that we want to look at briefly, and he also mentioned before that some six other points, but just quickly we're going to look at that just to refresh our memory and to make sure that if we missed anything that we catch it, because these are things that we need to know in order to act upon them. So if somebody can tell me the five matters that he mentioned are related to what? And what are they related to? What are they concerning? Five matters related to what? Huh? Related to seeking knowledge. Okay. Anybody want to give me a little more specific? That's what it's related to for sure. But I mean, any a little bit more specific. He said what? Naam, Yusuf. Huh? Success in seeking knowledge. Okay. Okay. He referred to them as asbab mu'ina ala at-tahsil lil-ilm. That's what he referred to them specifically as. So yes, it's related to seeking knowledge, being successful in seeking knowledge. But specifically, these are five means, asbab, five means that will help a person to acquire knowledge. That will help a person to acquire knowledge. All right, so those five things. Want one person to tell us all five of them. One person. Now, Ahmed. Islah al-niyya. Yani that a person is actively engaged in the rectification, the reformation, the correction of their intention. Naam. Hifz al-waqt. That a person is, yani, conscious of guarding, protecting, and preserving their time, not wasting time. And the third one? Al-amal bima alima. That a person acts upon what they know. We're going to be talking about that tonight in detail. Al-istiqama ala taqwallah. That a person is constantly, consistently, yani, engaged in observing taqwa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the last of them you mentioned?
Al-hadhar min al-ma'asi.
Al-hadhar min al-ma'asi. That a person take precaution, make every effort to avoid any falling into disobedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Jazakallah khair. I want one more person to tell us those five things. We just heard them. Five of them. In brief, without looking at any notes. Without looking at any notes. In brief. Just brief point. All five of them. Somebody else. Zakaria. He's ready. Ahmed is ready. But mashallah, we'll give somebody else a shot. Now. Islah al-niyya. Okay, somebody can help. Second one in order though. Yeah. You have it? Hifz al-waqt. Preserving the time. Acting upon what you know. Being upright upon taqwa and taking precaution from committing sins, disobedience to Allah. Somebody else want to tell us? Without looking at any notes. Without any looking at any notes. Five of them. Do I see any hands up there behind people that I can't see? Yes. Yes. Ameen. Yes. Islah al-niyyah. Hifz al-waqt. Thalith ah. Ah. Somebody help him with ah. Ah. What does that mean? Thalith? Huh? Al-amal bima'alim. Aywa. Al-rabi' wal-khamis wal-sadis labas. Labas. Okay. The point is here, and we're not trying to waste time. Because even though the time is open, alhamdulillah, we've already prayed Isha, and the night is long. But we don't want to waste time ever. But the point is, though, that we need to look at ourselves and make sure that we're actually benefiting. And the way that we're going to benefit is that we retain the information. Yani that this knowledge is not something that we hear, and even if we understand it, but then we forget it. That's really the point. That's really the point. For older people, no doubt, it's more difficult to memorize. There's no doubt about it. But nonetheless, we all have to memorize. Nobody's exempt from that. And these are five matters that are very important that we discussed in great detail just recently. And we actually need to memorize them. We need to memorize them. And a person has to memorize them. Arabic, English, however way you want to, it doesn't matter. In summary, in detail. But we have to memorize them. Otherwise, if you don't memorize them, you're not going to remember them. So how can you act upon something that's not in your mind? Not possible. Okay, so anyway, alhamdulillah, the Shaykh also gave some advices before that, five matters that he advised. We're going to skip them for tonight, but they should be memorized. The reason why we're going to skip them for tonight, for the sake of paying attention to the time, and not, we don't want to keep people over time. Alright, so we're going to try to stick to the time. Tonight, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, as I mentioned, we're going to be reading from some advice to Muslims in Britain, from Shaykh Abdussalam Burgess, rahimahullah, and I'm just going to mention briefly, I sent out a biography that I found somewhere, and I kind of just edited it a little bit to reduce its size. It's 6 pages long. I'm just going to look at the first 2 pages. The last 4 pages, well, 1 page is reference notes, and 3 pages are his books. And 3 pages are his books. And he has more than 50 or 60 books that either or books that he authored or books that he and he did checking on. So we're just going to go to the first 2 pages and I'm going to summarize what is said in the first 2 pages just quickly for the sake of time. There's no doubt that we know for a fact that this knowledge is deen. And this is not economics. This is not politics. This is our deen. And therefore we know that it's incumbent upon us to examine, to look at and carefully consider who we're taking our deen from. So I'm just going to mention a little bit about the Sheikh. I've sent the biography out. I encourage you, I urge you to please read it from beginning to end. Read it. Now, do the best that you can. But the first 2 pages especially are important, and I'm just going to summarize them quickly. Sheikh Abdussalam Ibn Burgess, Ali Abdul Karim, rahimahullah. The person who wrote this was writing in a newspaper at the time of his death, when the Sheikh died. It says, Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah was shocked when the news reached them about the death of the noble Sheikh Dr. Abdussalam ibn Burgess ibn Nasir Ali Abdul Karim, who was born in the year 1387. What year are we in now? 1446. Huh? 1446. So how long ago was that? 1387. Huh? So the Sheikh died a little while ago. Now. He died, yeah, not that, yani, alhamdulillah. He died in an accident, a very bad accident, on his way from Ahsa to Riyadh. He was returning to Riyadh, and on the way, the car that he was in hit a camel. And if anybody knows anything about camels, if you hit a camel, you're destroyed. You are destroyed. Not the camel. Camel may be destroyed too, but you're finished. Camels, like you don't hit a camel, except there's destruction going to come to whoever hits the camel. Camels are very, very strong animals. In any case, he says that he heard some of the people saying about him, the level of knowledge of Sheikh Abdussalam surpassed his age. he died in the year, he was born in the year 1387. He died in the year 1425. 1425. How long ago he died? Okay, so he was, at the time of his death, 38 years old. Most of you are very young, mashallah, but some of you are past 38 now. So if those who are past 38 or close to 38, just imagine that a person died at that time in their life, very early, very, very early. And yet, the accomplishments are amazing. The level of knowledge of the Sheikh surpassed his age, meaning that even though he was very young, his level of knowledge was any superior to most. It is also said about him that he had he lived a long time, had he lived longer, he would have been an ayah, yani a proof or a sign. Yani he would have been something amazing that people would have seen, a great scholar of Islam, and he, Allah knows best, yani because he didn't live long. It says his name and lineage, he was Abu Abdurrahman, Abdul Salam, Ibn Burjis, Ibn Nasir, Ali Abdul Karim. He was born in Riyadh in 1387. And as I just mentioned, he died in the year 1425, so he was 38 years old when he died. And it is said that ever since his youth, the Sheikh was intelligent, determined, diligent, and hardworking. Any people who are young right now, most of you are very young still, mashallah. And since he was young, not when he got older and mature, when he was young, he was intelligent, he was determined, he was diligent, and he was hardworking from the very beginning of his life, from his teenage. He memorized the Quran and began seeking knowledge at the age of 13. At the age of 13. How old are you, young man? 13. MashaAllah. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. At the age of 13, he memorized the Quran and began seeking knowledge seriously. His teachers, observing, yani who observed distinguishing and distinctive signs in him, gave him special attention and importance. The Sheikh studied at the hands of a number of scholars in Saudi Arabia, and I'll just mention a few of them. They mention a lot of his scholars. I summarize a little bit to get directly to them. The Imam and great scholar, Sheikh Abdulaziz Ibn Baz, Ibn Abdullah ibn Baz, rahimullah, who died in the year 420. And this was his most important teacher, and the one that he benefited the most from. Secondly, amongst his teachers was the scholar of fiqh and usul, Imam Muhammad ibn Salih al-Uthaymeen, who died in the year 421, the year after Sheikh ibn Baz. May Allah have mercy upon them. And it mentions some of the books that he studied with him. Also from his teachers is Sheikh Abdullah ibn Qaud, whom he read, yani Fath al-Majid, yani explanation of Kitab al-Tawheed. And amongst his teachers was Sheikh Abdullah ibn Abdurrahman ibn Hulayyan, with whom he studied in the High Institute of Judicial Education. And then they mentioned some other teachers from his positions. Most important position, that he joined the Educational Institute, yani Mahad al-Ilmi. These are schools in Saudi Arabia that are specially designed, or were, Allahu A'lam now, specially designed for people who want to learn Islam well. And he, real schools, high school, you study science and math and all that stuff, but they concentrate on learning the deen. And he's studying the Quran, tafsir, hadith, aqidah, and so on. So he, I'm sorry, I'm skipping over this a little bit. It says, after his organized study, the Sheikh accepted education in the city of Riyadh. Okay, so he was living in the city of Riyadh. That's where he was raised at. He went to primary school there, and then he joined the Educational Institute, yani the Mahad Ilmi, under the auspices of Imam Muhammad ibn Saud University. After that, he moved on to the College of Sharia at the same university and graduated in 1410. Okay, then he was he continued his education, higher studies, so he joined the Higher Institute of Judicial Education and completed his master's. And then he was appointed as a judge in the Ministry of Justice. And he also returned to Riyadh after having been sent to Jeddah for some government job there that he didn't want. He returned to Riyadh as a lecturer in the High Institute of Judicial Education. And he also obtained his doctor's degree in 1422. As for his manners, and I'll close with this, it says that he was profound in his good manners and humbleness. And he was known for his gentleness. SubhanAllah. And he, many of the scholars that we have read from their books and looked at some of their biographies, then it is mentioned, one of the important things that's mentioned about them is their good manners and the way that they dealt with the people, their humbleness and their gentleness. And this is, and indeed, of the utmost importance. After this, it mentions his books and his writings and also his verifications, yani the books that he did tahqiq on, and so on. And I just wanted to mention a little bit about the Shaykh. I'm hoping that we can complete this topic in tonight's session and next week's session. I'm hoping that we can complete it. So for that reason, we summarize a little bit about the Shaykh so that whoever may not be familiar with him and didn't know him will have some idea who he is. So before I begin reading, I want to just say that this topic was actually a topic, it was a lecture that the Sheikh gave by telephone to Muslims in England. And I heard that lecture, and it was recorded, so I took it with me, and I wrote it out by hand. From the Sheikh's speech, I wrote it out in Arabic, and I don't want to show you my handwriting, I still have those notes that are hard for me even to read, but I wrote it out, and it took hours and hours and hours. Because I was so affected by what he said, I said, I want to retain this. And maybe a recording might be lost, but I'm going to take these notes and I'm going to keep them. And that was 20 years ago. And they were still in the same notes, handwriting that I did them in 20 years ago, until a couple of days ago, somebody came up with the idea that it could be typed up in Arabic. And alhamdulillah, it was typed up. I wasn't typed up. I don't know if it was done by some kind of program or whatever. I don't know how it was done. But anyway, somebody put it into any Arabic that you can read. So I did send it out to the class for those who are reading Arabic. You have, mashallah, something that looks nice to read, not like what I was reading from, and what I wrote. And also by these apps or whatever, as we learned from our brother, mashallah, there was also a translation made. I did look at the translation. I didn't examine it carefully, but I looked at it. It looks like it's okay. It's like close to what was there. So, in some places, from some of the expressions I saw in the translation is very good actually. Better worded than the way I would have worded it. But in any case, we do have a translation and we have an Arabic, and I sent it out to the class, so hopefully you benefit from it. Because it inshallah is valuable. Okay, so now to the text of what the Sheikh said, and of course the title is Ittiba' al-ilm bil-amal, following knowledge with action, by Shaykh Abdul Salam Burujis rahimahullah, and it's from the advice that he gave to Muslims in Britain. And I don't know, I might have just known, transcribing from a tape recording. Tapes don't even exist anymore, right? But transcribing from a tape recording means that you have to play the tape a little bit and try to write it, and if you missed anything, you got to rewind it and try to find where you just left off and listen to it again, and then write again and rewind again. It's really, really tedious, tiring. So I think in the beginning, I might have left out the beginning of his introduction, because I've done it before, so I already knew what it's going to be like, right? So anyway, I started writing from Sallallahu wa sallam ala Rasulillahi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa man wala. And actually, even in the Arabic transcript that somebody prepared for us, there's a couple of little small mistakes. As I was reading it tonight, I realized that there was a few mistakes, but not much. It's pretty good. And in the translation, there might be also something there. I didn't read it that carefully. So part of his introduction was asking for salat and salam on the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and upon his family and his companions and those who follow in his way. After that, he said, "Amma ba'd, nahmadu Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala على ما أجراه من هذا الاتصال بيننا وبين إخواننا في برمنغهام." He said, "We praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for having, allowing this to occur, this telephone conversation between us and our brothers in Birmingham, England. نسأل الله عز وجل أن يجعل هذا الاتصال الحاتفي خيرا علينا في ديننا ودنيانا." And we ask Allah عز وجل that He make this telephone call to be good for us, that it be a source of khair for us in this world, in our dunya, in our deen, and in our dunya, in our religious world, in our religious life, and in our worldly life. And we also ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that what we hear from the Shaykh tonight and in the next session, bi'idhnillahi ta'ala, that it will be a source of khair for us. Yani in our worldly life and in most importantly in our deen. So the Shaykh, he begins by saying, سَوْفَ نَتَحَدَّثُ إِنْشَاءَ اللَّهُ عَنْ مَوْضُوعٍ فِي غَيْرِ الْأَهَمِّيَةِ, that we will discuss, inshaAllah, if Allah wills, a topic that is of the utmost importance. أَلَا وَهُوَ مَوْضُوعَ اتِّبَاعَ الْعِلْمِ بِالْعَمَلِ. Yani it is the subject of following knowledge with action. And this was one of the 5 points, yani that Al-Imam Ibn Abdul Aziz Ibn Baz rahimahullah mentioned as al-asbab al-mu'ina ala tahsil al-ilm, that from the means through that a person will find help and assistance in acquiring knowledge, yani is that a person follows knowledge with action, yani that a person acts upon what they have learned. This is the subject, he said. And the reason for the subject, he said, ذَلِكَ لِأَنَّ كِثِيرًا مِنْ إِخْوَانِي يَعْرِفُونَ فَضْلَ الْعِلْمِ وَأَهَمِّيَتَهُ وَلَكِنْ عَنْدَمَا يَأْتِي دَوْرُ الْعَمَلِ يَتَقَاعِسْ كَثِيرٌ وَتَضْعُفُ الْهِمَمْ وَاللَّهُ مُسْتَعَانُ. He said, the reason for this subject is because many of my brothers know the excellence, the virtue of knowledge and its importance. Not everybody knows the excellence or the virtue of knowledge and its importance. Not everybody knows that. Lots of Muslims do not know the excellence, the superiority, the virtue of knowledge or its importance. Lots of Muslims don't know that. And the proof of that is that we go to any masjid or any place where Muslims gather to seek knowledge and we find very few people seeking knowledge because people don't know the excellence of knowledge. And they don't know the importance of knowledge, for a Muslim especially. So if Allah has blessed you to know the virtue of knowledge and its importance, then Allah has favored you. And for that, you have to be thankful. And gratitude is expressed in yani using what Allah has given you in a way that's pleasing to Him. And in this case, it means acting upon what we are learning. That's our gratitude. That's how we express our gratitude, by acting upon what we are learning. The Shaykh says, many of my brothers, they know the excellence of knowledge and its importance. However, when the time comes for action, for acting upon that knowledge, they procrastinate and they fall off and they slack and they refrain. Many of them, many people. And the hamam, yani the enthusiasm, is weakened. Yani the enthusiasm that we have for seeking knowledge is not the same, yani for acting upon it. We don't have the same enthusiasm. People are very excited to attend conferences and lectures and things and stuff like this. It's a social event sometimes, and we're very excited about it. But then when the time comes to act upon what we have learned, the enthusiasm is not there. Wallahu musta'an. And Allah is the one that we seek help from. Naam. After this, the Shaykh says, أيها الإخوة الفضلاء إن السلف الصالح رضي الله تعالى عنهم كان اهتمامهم الأكبر في اتباع العلم بالعمل في اتباع العلم بالعمل. He said, O noble brothers, indeed the righteous predecessors, the Salaf as-Salih, may Allah the Most High be pleased with them. Their ihtimam, yani their concern, the thing that they felt was important, their greatest concern was in following up knowledge with action. That was the thing that they considered to be important. Muhim jiddan. And he was acting upon the knowledge. وَبِذَلِكَ حَازُوا السَّبْقُ وَفَاقُوا النَّاسِ عُمُومًا بِالْخَيْرِ. نعم. Okay. So in this way, because they gave care and concern and they gave importance to acting upon knowledge, in this way they achieved precedence, or they took the lead They were in front of the rest of the people, and they excelled and surpassed the people generally in khair. And because of this reason, and because of the reason of what? That they gave care to, they gave importance to acting upon knowledge. For this reason, they were in the lead. They were ahead of the rest of the people. They excelled and they surpassed the people generally, yani in khair. Fi umur dinihim wa umur dunyahum. Yani in the affairs of their deen and in their worldly affairs. They surpassed the rest of the people because they acted upon the knowledge that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed them with. وَقَدْ كَانُوا رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُمْ يَحْرِسُونَ عَلَى اتِّبَاعِ الْعِلْمِ بِالْعَمَلِ كَمَا يَحْرِسُونَ عَلَى الْعِلْمِ ابْتِدَاءً. So may Allah be pleased with them. They were diligent. They were eager in following up knowledge with action, just as they were diligent in seeking knowledge in the first place. Yani just as eager they were to seek knowledge in the first place, they were equally eager and diligent in following it up with action. And it wasn't that they were eager to seek knowledge and then after that, yani, they lost eagerness in acting upon it. No, they were diligent. They were eager. They were very concerned about acting upon the knowledge just as they were concerned about seeking knowledge in the first place. And this is an example for us. The Shaykh, in this topic, he mentions some evidences from the Qur'an and some evidences from the Sunnah and a number of sayings from the Salaf. Yani what they said and how they acted in reference to this subject of acting upon knowledge. So the first point that he mentions, that he quotes here is related to the manhaj of the Sahaba radiallahu anhum ajma'in in learning the Quran. The manhaj of Sahaba in learning the Quran. And this methodology of the Sahaba is well known, yani to people who are yani concerned about seeking knowledge and concerned about the Sunnah. It's well known because we heard it a lot of times. He says their eagerness and their diligence in acting upon knowledge, he said, is reflected in the saying. He said, وَلِهَذَا يَقُولُ أَبُو عَبْدُ الرَّحْمَنِ السُّلَمِي رَحِيمُهُ اللَّهِ حَدَّثُونَا الَّذِينَ يُقْرِئُونَنَا الْقُرْآنِ يعني أثمان بن عفان رضي الله عنه ونحوه من الصحابة رضي الله عنهم أجمعين أنهم لم يكونوا يقرؤوا 10 آيات حتى يعرفوا معناها ويتعلموها ويعملوا بها. قال فجمعنا العلم والعمل معه. يعني أبو عبد الرحمن السلمي رحمه الله said, حدثونا الذين يقرؤوننا القرآن. يعني those who were teaching us the Quran, they informed us. And he says, Yani, he means by that, Uthman ibn Affan. Yani, one of the main persons that he learned the Quran from was from Uthman ibn Affan, radiallahu anhu. And he said, similarly, the others, yani, also from amongst the Sahaba. Yani, the same thing is applicable to them. They informed us, أَنَّهُمْ لَمْ يَكُونُوا يَقْرَوْا 10 آيَاتٍ. They wouldn't go past the reading of 10 ayat until they knew their meanings. Until they knew the meaning of those ayat. وَيَتَعَلَّمُونَهَا, and they learned them well. وَيَعْمَلُونَ بِهَا, and they acted upon them. And this was their methodology. In learning the Quran, they would take 10 ayat. They would, yani, know, learn their meanings and learn them well and act upon them before they would go past them to the next 10 ayat. And perhaps this yani statement here requires some discussion, but in any case, for now, let it suffice to say that the point is that we don't have to be hasty in the accumulation of information, but rather we should be more concerned with acting upon it. That was their methodology. That they weren't so concerned about hastily accumulating information, but rather they were concerned about yani acquiring information, learning it, understanding it well, and then acting upon it. He said, قَالَ يعني أبو عبد الرحمن السلمي رحمه الله, he said, فَجَمَعَنَا الْعِلْمَ وَالْعَمَلَ مَعَهُ. So we combined knowledge and along with it, action. We combined between knowledge and along with knowledge, we connected to it and joined to it action. فَهَذَا هُوَ مَنْهَجُهُمْ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُمْ. So this was their methodology. وَلَمَّا أَنَّهُمْ كَانُوا عَلَىٰ هَذِهِ الطَّرِيقَةِ وَعَلَىٰ هَذَا الْمَسْلَكِ فَقَدْ أَدْرَكُوا فِي الْعِلْمِ إِدْرَاكًا قَوِيًّا وَتَمَكَّنُوا مِنْهُ تَمَكُّنًا وَاضِحًا بَيِّنًا. So the Shaykh, he says, so since this was their tariqah, and this was their maslak, yani this was their way, and this was the road or the path that they traveled upon, as a result of that, yani they reached, in terms of the knowledge, yani idrak and qawiyan, yani they attained, they obtained a strong understanding and comprehension of the knowledge. Because what? Because they didn't just accumulate information, but they made sure that they understood it well and that they acted upon it before they went on. So, as a result of this, they reached in knowledge, yani a great, strong understanding of the knowledge, and a mastery that was crystal clear, وَاضِحًا بَيِّنًا. Yani تَمَكَّنُوا مِنْهُ. Yani they had a grasp, a control, a mastery of that knowledge, because they took it, yani gradually, little by little, making sure they understood it, and then acting upon it. And this is similar to what Al-Imam Muhammad ibn Salih Uthaymeen mentioned when he said, yani in the methodology, Tariq al-Talib al-Ilm, he mentioned that what? That a person, yani, focus and be steadfast in the subject that they are seeking, and that they start with the smaller books, understand them well before they go on to other books. So a person takes a little bit of knowledge, make sure that they understand it, they master it, and then they yani go on to what is above it, to the books that are beyond that. And then he says, وَذَلِكَ لِأَنَّ هَذَا الْعِلْمِ مَا جُعِلَ لِلْتَلَذُّذَ بِهِ لِلْتَلَذُّذَ بِهِ النَّاسِ تَلَذُّذًا فَحَسْبُ وَلَا لِيَتَكَثَّرَ بِهِ تَكَثُّرًا فَحَسْبُ. Yani this is because knowledge was not intended as something that people enjoy and then that's it. It wasn't meant just to be something that you enjoy or something that you collect in abundance, accumulate a lot of information and that's sufficient. So you enjoyed the knowledge, you collected a lot of it and then that's the end. Rather, بَلْ إِنَّمَا شُرِعَ هَذَا الْعِلْمُ وَشُرِعَ التَّعَلُّمُ لِأَجْلِ أَنْ يُطْبِعَهُ النَّاسُ الْعَمَلَ. But rather, this knowledge was legislated and learning was legislated for the people to follow it up with action. Now, so he said, فَمَنْ أَتْبَعَ الْعِلْمَ بِالْعَمَلِ فَإِنَّهُ وَالْحَالَ هَذِهِ سَيَسْتَفِيدُ أُمُورًا كَثِيرًا. So, whoever follows up knowledge with action, if this is his condition, then he will benefit, yani, in many ways, yani, in many areas, in many affairs, yani, أُمُورًا كَثِيرًا. There will be a lot of benefit that the person will receive. And the Shaykh, he mentions, and he mentions six specific things, and then he has some other commentary on the importance of encouraging knowledge and why, acting upon knowledge, and why we, the people of Sunnah, the people who identify themselves with the Sunnah, why we, have every right, or why it is befitting and becoming and expected of us, yani, to be the first people who act upon the knowledge. So he mentions here the first of those, six things that a person would benefit from if their condition, if their situation is that they are the people who follow up knowledge with action. He said, سوف أكتبها في الفقرات التالية. And I will write in the following paragraphs some of these things that a person will benefit from. أول ذلك. أول ذلك. أن إتباع العلم بالعمل فيه إظهار نعمة الله عز وجل عليك وإظهار فضل الله سبحانه وتعالى عليك بأن خصك بهذا العلم دون أكثر الناس. So the first one of those things that a person will benefit from, if they are of those who their normal, natural, ongoing, regular condition is that they are from the people who follow up knowledge with action. The first benefit that a person will get, he said, yani in doing so, there is idhar ni'matillah alayka. Yani this is a manifestation, an outward display of the ni'mah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon you. Yani by you acting upon the knowledge, this is the manifestation of Allah's favor upon you, Allah's blessings upon you. When you act upon the knowledge, this is a manifestation, an open display that Allah has blessed you. And in some people, the blessing that Allah has given to them is that they have some money, or they have fine clothing, or they have a nice car. So that's the open display of the material blessing. But this is the open display of the real ni'mah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that is the ni'mah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala giving you success in your deen. When you act upon the knowledge that you have received, this shows that Allah has blessed you. That's real ni'mah. Allah has blessed you. And it's seen. It's seen. And outwardly by everyone who sees the person who acts upon the knowledge. As opposed to people who have a lot of information, but we don't see them acting on any of it. The manners, the character, the ibadah, none of it. None of it. We don't see good manners, we don't see good character, we don't see worship. We just see people talking a lot. But if you act upon your knowledge, people will see the blessing of Allah upon you. Manifest openly. وَإِظْهَارْ فَضْلِ اللَّهِ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى عَلَيْكَ. It shows the favor of Allah upon you. بِأَنْ خَصَّكَ بِهَذَا الْعِلْمِ دُونَ أَكْثَرَ النَّاسِ. Yani in that He has singled you out, especially for this knowledge to the exclusion of many other people. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's favor is upon you in that He selected you. He singled you out as yani a special favor that He has given to you from amongst the rest of the people, many other people. If you act upon the knowledge. If you act upon the knowledge, then this is a manifestation of Allah's favor upon you in that He has singled you out with this knowledge to the exclusion of many, many other people who don't have knowledge, or who have knowledge but don't act upon it. So this is an exclusive any group. I was going to say a wrong word. This is an exclusive group. The people who have knowledge and act upon it. This excludes the people who have knowledge and don't act upon it, and excludes most of the people who don't even have knowledge. That's the majority of the people. He said, this is a manifestation of the ni'mah of Allah upon you and the favor of Allah upon you, and that He singled you out for this knowledge to the exclusion of many other people. فَإِنَّ مَنْ تَعَلَّمَ الْعِلْمِ وَحَسَّنَهُ فَإِنَّ شُكْرَ نِعْمَةِ اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ عَلَى هَذَا الْعِلْمِ إِنَّمَا تَكُونُ بِإِذْهَارِ الْعَمَلِ وَبِالْحِرْسِ عَلَيْهِ وَبِمُجَاهَدَةِ النَّفْسِ عَلَيْهِ. Indeed, the one who has learned, who has acquired knowledge, and they have learned it well, then the gratitude for this ni'mah of Allah, yani of this knowledge that Allah has given to you, the expression of gratitude for the ni'mah of Allah upon you, it is in the open display and manifestation of acting, of action. Yani, the gratitude for the ni'mah of Allah is that a person manifest, yani their gratitude in acting upon it. Any gratitude to Allah is not just in words, Alhamdulillah. Naam, we say Alhamdulillah, and that's important that we praise Allah. But real gratitude, true gratitude, has to go beyond just words. And the real gratitude is manifested in acting upon it. and being diligent upon it, and striving against your nafs to act upon it. So every one of these points that the Shaykh makes here are points that we need to carefully look at our own selves. Yani our gratitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the ni'mah of knowledge that He has given to us. Are we expressing it by acting upon it and being yani diligent in seeking it and striving against our nafs to act upon it? Or are we taking the matter lightly? The second quote of the Shaykh here related to this first topic is وَلِهَذَا يَقُولُ أَبُو قِلَابَ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ وَرَحِيمَهُ إِذَا أَحْدَثَ اللَّهَ لَكَ عِلْمًا فَأَحْدِثْ لَهُ عِبَادَةً إِذَا أَحْدَثَ اللَّهُ لَكَ عِلْمًا فَأَحْدِثْ لَهُ عِبَادَةً. And if Allah has granted you knowledge, then in response to that, you should return, yani, worship. And Allah gives you knowledge, then you, yani, act upon that knowledge by doing the worship that, yani, is required by that knowledge. إِذَا أَحْدَثَ اللَّهُ لَكَ عِلْمًا, Allah has brought about some knowledge for you, then you have to bring about some worship for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, showing gratitude for the knowledge that He has given you. وَلَا يَكُونُ حَمُّكَ أَن يُحَدِّثَ بِهِ النَّاسِ. And your greatest concern should not just be to talk about it to the people. Yani to speak about it to the people, to convey or transmit it to the people. That shouldn't be our main concern, that we just want to talk about it. We want to get in front of the people and convey it. Rather, what is obligatory upon us, if Allah gives us knowledge, is to act upon it. This is the first matter. Yani the first matter is what? That a person benefits from acting upon knowledge. Yani in that, acting upon knowledge is an open display, a manifestation of Allah's favor and bounty and blessing upon you, and that He singled you out to be from amongst the few of the people who He has given knowledge to, and He has also given them the tawfiq to act upon it. The second point the Shaykh mentions from the benefits that a person will derive, or the benefit that a person will receive from acting upon knowledge, he says, ثانياً أن اتباع العلم بالعمل فيه الخشية من الله سبحانه وتعالى وظهور إجلال الله سبحانه وتعالى. Yani following knowledge with action entails الخشية من الله. In it, yani what it involves, yani acting upon knowledge is a manifestation of the khashya of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And also it is a manifestation, an open display of reverence for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When a person acts upon knowledge, it shows that they have khashya, fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When a person acts upon knowledge, it shows that they are the people who have khashya of Allah, and who, yani, have ijlal for Allah, any reverence and respect for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. فَإِنَّ الْعِلْمُ لَا يُرَادُ لِلْعِلْمُ فَحَسْبُ. Because knowledge, what is intended by knowledge is just, yani, accumulation of knowledge itself. وَإِنَّمَا يُرَادُ الْخَشَّةِ وَإِنَّمَا يُرَادُ لِخَشَّةِ اللَّهِ إِنَّمَا يُرَادُ لِخَشَّةِ اللَّهِ وَالْخَوْفِ مِنَ اللَّهِ وَمُرَاقَبَةِ اللَّهِ. Yani what is actually intended by knowledge, yani, is the that a person, yani, attain a level of khashya of Allah and fear of Allah and muraqabatullah, that a person is conscious of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, yani, watching over us. And what is intended by knowledge, that a person achieves this state of khashya and khawf and muraqabah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. ولهذا كان السلف يقولون ليس العلم عن كثرة الرواية ولكن العلم الخشية. هكذا قال ابن مسعود. And the Shaykh says that some of the Salaf said, and he mentions after the statement that this was actually said by Abdullah ibn Mas'ud رضي الله عنه. He He said some of the Salaf, they used to say, لَيْسَ الْعِلْمُ عَنْ كَثْرَةُ الرِّوَايَةِ. Meaning the knowledge is not just having an abundance of narrations. Meaning that a person is able to narrate a lot of hadith. This is not, yani what, shows that a person has knowledge. وَلَكِنَّ الْعِلْمُ الْخَشَّةِ. But what shows a person really has knowledge is their khashya of Allah. Their consciousness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Of Allah's right to be obeyed, to be loved, to be honored, to be revered. And this is what shows that a person really has knowledge. Then the Shaykh says, وَتَصْدِيقُ ذَلِكَ فِي قَوْلِ اللَّهِ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى إِنَّمَا يَخْشَى اللَّهُ مِنْ عِبَادِهِ الْعُلَمَاءِ. Yani from Surah Al-Fatir, 35th Surah, 28th Ayah. Yani that which proves the truthfulness of this statement from the Salaf, that knowledge is not manifested by how much, yani an abundance of riwayah, narrations, but rather knowledge is yani manifested and proven by a person having khashya of Allah. He said this statement is proven by the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, إِنَّمَا يَخْشَى اللَّهُ مِنْ عِبَادِهِ الْعُلَمَاءِ. That indeed, those who have khashya of Allah from amongst His worshippers are the scholars. Now, Surah Al-Fatir, 35th Surah, 28th Ayah. Yeah, I mean, normally we don't take questions during the talk, but if it's a reference that's yani in front of us at that moment, no problem, inshallah. That's better than waiting, because maybe you'll forget later, or maybe I'll forget. إِنَّمَا يَخْشَى اللَّهُ مِنْ عِبَادِهِ الْعُلَمَاءِ. Yani from amongst the worshippers of Allah, those who indeed, and it's almost as though it's exclusive to those who have khashya of Allah, are the ulama. And the people have knowledge. So to whatever extent a person has knowledge, to that extent they have khashya of Allah. And other people don't have real khashya of Allah. And actually the tafsirs of this ayat are very, very beneficial if we were to go back and look at some of them. So the Shaykh, he says, after mentioning this ayat, that this ayat is a proof that real knowledge, yani the proof of it is that a person have khashya of Allah. He said this ayat supports that statement. فَالْعُلَمَا هُمْ أَشَدُّ النَّاسِ خَشَّةً لِلَّهِ. So the scholars, they are the people who have the greatest amount of khashya of Allah. يَخْشَوْنَ اللَّهِ فِي السِّرِّ وَالْعَلَنِ. Yani, they have fear of Allah in secret and in public. فَيُؤَدُّونَ مَا أَوْجَبَ اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِمْ. So they fulfill those things that Allah has made obligatory upon them. وَيَحْرِسُونَ عَلَى الْإِتْيَانِ بِالنَّوَافِلِ. And they also are diligent and eager and desirous of doing the things that are nawafil, that are extra voluntary deeds. And first they fulfill what Allah has made obligatory, and then after that, they take it to the next step, and they go further. And they do what? They're also diligent in performing the voluntary nawafil. وَيَجْتَنِبُونَ مَا نَهَاهُمُ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى اجْتِنَابًا كَامِلًا. And they avoid, they distance themselves from what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has prohibited them. Yani ijtinaban kamilan. Yani completely. And this is similar to a hadith in which the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, whatever I order you to do, do as much as you can. But whatever I have prohibited from, leave it off completely. So he said what? They fulfill what Allah has made obligatory, and they follow it up by also being diligent in the voluntary things, and they completely distance themselves from what Allah has prohibited. And this is also similar to the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, where he said that the thing that is most loved, the thing that brings a abd nearest to Allah, that's most beloved to him, is what he made obligatory. And then they continue to get near to him by what? By voluntary deeds. So a person has to first occupy themselves and focus on the obligatory duties. And then don't stop there. And then go on beyond that to those things that are not obligatory, that bring a person nearer and nearer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And along with that, we have to also avoid the things that Allah has prohibited. Yani with complete avoidance to the best of one's ability. And this is, yani reminds us of the advice of the final advice of Sheikh Al-Imam Abdulaziz ibn Baz, when he said, what? From the things that help a person to achieve knowledge is what? Yani al-hadr min al-ma'asi. That a person tries to avoid sins. Then the Shaykh mentions another statement. Before I go to the next statement, I'm sorry. Let me just stop here for a minute and mention what Al-Imam Al-Hafidh ibn Kathir rahimahullah says concerning this ayat, that verily those who have khashya of Allah from amongst the worshippers of Allah are the ulama. Ibn Kathir, Al-Imam Ibn Kathir rahimahullah says, those who fear Allah in the way that He deserves to fear Him are those who know Him. يعني إنما يخشاه حق خشيته العلماء لا يعرفون به. يعني those who have khashya of Allah in the way that He deserves to be feared are the scholars, those who know Him. And he says, لأنه كلما كانت المعرفة للعظيم القدير أتم والعلم به أكمل كانت الخشية له أعظم وأكثر. يعني لماذا؟ لأن كلما كانت المعرفة للعظيم القدير أتم والعلم به أكمل. يعني the more a person has knowledge of Allah العظيم القدير, the more a person knows that Allah is العظيم القدير, that Allah is Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim, that Allah is Al-Alim. Yani the more a person knows these great characteristics of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the more a person knows, yani the more it is complete and perfect, his knowledge of Allah, and the and his knowledge is complete and perfect. Yani the ma'rifah is atam, and the ilm is akmal, the greater and more perfect is a person's knowledge of Allah, kanat al-khashyatu lahu a'azam wa akthar. Then in that case, yani the person's khashya of Allah will be greater and will be more. And the more a person knows Allah, the greater will be their khashya of Allah. So Shaykh Abdul Rahman al-Sa'd, he mentioned something similar, but it's a little bit easier to memorize if a person wanted to memorize this statement. He says in his tafsir of the same ayat, Shaykh Abdul Rahman, Imam Abdul Rahman al-Sa'di, rahimahullah, says, إِنَّمَا يَخْشَى اللَّهُ مِنْ عِبَادِهِ الْعُلَمَاءِ فَكُلُّ مَا كَانَ بِاللَّهِ أَعْلَمُ كَانَ أَكْثَرْ لَهُ خَشَّةً. يعني فَكُلُّ مَنْ كَانَ بِاللَّهِ أَعْلَمُ. Whoever was more knowledgeable of Allah, كُلُّ مَنْ كَانَ بِاللَّهِ أَعْلَمُ, person who was more knowledgeable of Allah, كان أكثر له خشية, then he will have more خشية of Allah. يعني the person who knows Allah more will have more خشية of Allah. So this is a sign that real knowledge is manifested not in كثرة الرواية, but is manifested in خشية of Allah سبحانه وتعالى. Shaykh Abdul Rahman al-Sa'di goes on to say, and it is of benefit, no doubt. He says, يعني the more a person has knowledge of Allah, the greater will be their خشية of Allah. He said, وَأَوْجَبَتْ لَهُ خَشَّةِ اللَّهِ الْإِنْكِفَافِ عَنَ الْمَعَاسِ. And this khashya of Allah will necessitate, will require of him to abstain from sin. وَالْإِسْتِعْدَادِ لِلِّقَاءِ مَنْ يَخْشَهُ. And it will also يعني necessitate from him to prepare for the meeting of the one that he fears. يعني the khashya of Allah will necessitate that a person abstain from sin. And it will necessitate that a person prepare themselves for the day of meeting the one that they fear. Yani the day of Qiyamah, the day of Hisab, when a person is going to be called to account. The more a person has khashya of Allah, the more they are going to know the need to prepare for the day of meeting when they're going to be called to account. وَهَذَا دَلِيلْ عَلَى فَضِيلَةِ الْعِلْمِ. And this is an indication of the excellence and the virtue of knowledge. فَإِنَّهُ دَاعٍ إِلَى خَشَّةِ اللَّهِ. Because it calls a person to have خَشَّة of Allah. وَأَهْلُ خَشَّتِهِ هُمْ أَهْلُ كَرَامَتُهُ. And the people who have خَشَّة of Allah, they are the people who will earn his honor. And this is as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the Quran, رضي الله عنهم ورضوا عن ذلك لمن خَشِّيَ رَبَّهِ. Yani that Allah is pleased with them, and they are pleased with him, and that, yani the Jannah, is for those people who have khashya of their Rabb. Yani, knowledge invites and calls a person to have khashya of Allah. And the people who have khashya of Allah are the people who will be honored by Allah with Jannah. Naam. Okay, after this, the last point that the Shaykh makes here, yani from this second benefit being yani that a person who acts upon their knowledge will achieve khashya of Allah, and the people who have khashya of Allah, people will be honored by Allah and will be rewarded by Allah. He says, وَيَقُولُ الْإِمَامُ الْحَسَنُ الْبَصْرِي رَحِمَهُ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى حِمَّةُ الْعُلَمَاءِ الرِّعَايَةِ وَهِمَّةُ السُّفَهَاءِ الرِّوَايَةِ. يعني الإمام حسن البصري رحمه الله, he said, حِمَّةُ الْعُلَمَاءِ الرِّعَايَةِ, يعني that the concern of the scholars is الرِّعَايَةِ, that they show care and concern, they give attention to the knowledge by acting upon it. يعني that's the concern of the scholars, that they have concern, they have care, they give attention to the knowledge, yani, and what it requires of them acting upon it. وَهِمَّةُ السُّفَهَاءِ الرِّوَايَةِ. But the only concern of the stupid, the foolish, the shameless people, the sufaha, is narrating, yani just talking, showing that they have some knowledge. So the concern of the real scholars is that they act upon their knowledge, and the concern of the yani foolish people is just accumulation of information so that they can yani speak in front of the people. فَهَذَا نَصٌ جَلِيلٌ مِنْ أَحَدَ عِمَّةِ السَّلَفِ عَلَى أَنَّ الْعُلَمَاءَ حَقًّا حِمَّتُهُمْ تَدُورُ حَوْلَ رِعَايَةِ مَا رَوَوْا. Yani, so this is a clear text from one of the imams of the Salaf, Hasan al-Basri, rahimahullah, that the true scholars, al-ulama haqqan, حِمَّتُهُمْ تَدُورُ حَوْلَ رِعَايَةِ مَا رَوَوْا. Yani that the concern of real scholars centers around yani showing concern and care for what they narrate. بِمَعْنَى, what does he mean by رِعَايَةِ مَا رَوَوْا, yani that they show concern and care for what they narrate? It means الْعَمَلُ بِمَا رَوَوْا وَبِمَا نَقَلُوهُ عَنْ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ وَعَنْ صَحَابَتِهِ الْكِرَامِ. Yani it means that they act upon what they have narrated, yani what they have conveyed from the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and from his noble companions. As far as أَمَّا هِمَّةُ السُّفَهَاءِ, as far as the concern of the shameless, ignorant, stupid people, الَّذِينَ تَعَلَّمُونَ الْعِلْمَ لَا لِيَعْبُدُوا اللَّهَ تَعَالَى بِهِ عَلَى بَصِيرَةٍ وَلَا لِيَتَحَقَّقُوا خَشْيَةَ اللَّهِ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى فِي قُلُوبِهِمْ فَإِنَّمَا هِيَ الرِّوَايَةُ فَقَدْ. Yani the concern of the sufaha, those who ta'allamuna al-ilm, who learn, yani who seek knowledge, not to worship Allah upon insight, upon knowledge, not to worship Allah ala basira. They didn't seek knowledge to worship Allah with it, yani to have insight, to have clear guidance in how to worship Allah. They didn't seek knowledge to achieve khashya of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in their hearts. No, rather, their himma, their concern, it is only narrating, yani discussing, talking about, yani what they have, yani the knowledge that they have attained. فهم يرون الأحاديث ويتلون الآيات ولكنهم لا يعملون بها فهم أبعد الناس عن العمل بها ولهذا قال عنهم الحسن إنهم سفهاء لأنهم سفهوا أنفسهم بهذا العمل المقيت الذي اختصروا فيه على الرواية دون اتباعها بالعمل وأتوا بالسبب وأتوا بالوسيلة وتركوا الغاية والمقصد. So these people, yani the sufaha, he said, they narrate the ahadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and they recite the ayats of the Quran, but they don't act upon them. So they are the furthest people from acting upon this knowledge, and for this reason, And for this reason, Al-Hasan al-Basri, rahimahullah, said they are the sufaha. Yani they are stupid, they are ignorant, they are shameless. Because, yani they, safihu anfusahum, they showed their stupidity by this, yani detestable action of limiting their work, limiting it to a riwaya, to narrating knowledge, and yani to the exclusion of following that knowledge with action. And they showed their stupidity and their ignorance by this behavior of limiting their work to narrating to the exclusion of acting. So he said they came with the sabab, the cause, and the wasila, the means, but they left the ghaya and the maqsid, yani the objective and the goal. Yani they came with the means to achieve the sabab, the asbab, and the wasila, the accumulation of knowledge. But then they left the ghaya, the actual goal, the objective, the maqsid, yani of this knowledge, and that is to act upon it. It was my intention to cover 3 points because the Sheikh mentioned 6 points and I was hoping to cover 3 of them tonight and 3 the next week. But the third point is the lengthiest of the first one, of the what we have covered so far, and it wouldn't make sense to rush through it. And anyway, we're not in a hurry. But I'll just mention that the third point is one of the points that we covered previously. And that is that the person who acts upon their knowledge, it will be a means for them having an increase in knowledge and becoming firmly grounded in the knowledge that they have. And here he mentions a couple of sayings, the saying of Ali ibn Abi Talib radiallahu anhu, and the saying of Hudayl ibn Iyad, and also the saying of Sufyan ibn Uyayna. He mentions several sayings and an ayah from the Quran, and inshallah next week we'll start with that. Next week we'll start with that. And I'm going to just ask that whoever didn't receive the Arabic text, which has, as I'm reading through, I'm seeing some few mistakes here, and I already saw some previously, but I didn't have a chance to fix them. I'm asking whoever who didn't receive the Arabic text for this topic, please send me a request, let me know so I can share it with you. And whoever didn't receive the English translation, either one of them or both of them, please let me know so that we can send it to you. And I'll probably try to make a few corrections between now and next week so that and we'll have a better copy of it. It's not a lot of mistakes, just a few points, inshallah. Most importantly, what is important here is that this is one of the 5 matters that Al-Imam Abdulaziz ibn Baz rahimahullah has mentioned to us from the Asbab al-Ma'ina ala al-Tahseel. This is one of them, and each one of them requires a topic of its own, and we're not going to be able to do a topic on each one of them, but I thought this one, because Al-Imam, because it was mentioned in that topic that acting upon knowledge is really the objective of knowledge. It's really the goal of knowledge, to act upon it. So I thought that at least if we couldn't cover all of them in any detail, at least this one, these notes that were written out 20 years ago, that they will finally come to use, inshallah. And at least this point, yani, will be ingrained in our minds and in our hearts. And hopefully, yani, we'll take some of the points that he mentioned from here as an inspiration and motivation for us too, yani, to implement this in our lives, yani, to act upon, yani, to strive and to be conscious of and to make an effort and ask Allah to help us to actually act upon our knowledge. There's no doubt that none of us are exempted from this, and from the need to be reminded of this and to be encouraged to do it. All of us, if we look at ourselves honestly, we will have to admit that there's much that we have learned that we do not act upon. And some of it we act upon sometimes, even though we should be acting upon it all the time. So we're losing out on many benefits. These are 2 of them, and inshallah in the next a session, inshallah, we'll try to continue from here with whatever we're able to do. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. I ask Allah for myself and for each of you that He grant success. and doing whatever we do sincerely for His sake alone, and that He recognize, record, and reward our good deeds, and that He pardon, forgive, and overlook our mistakes and errors, and that He grant us at-thabat, any steadfastness upon a sirat al-mustaqim, until we return to Him in the condition in which we are pleasing to Him and pleased with Him, and that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant a recovery to those amongst us who are sick. Those amongst us who are sick, and to shower His rahmah upon those who have passed away, and to fill their graves with light, and to make them spacious, to admit them into His paradise, and to save them from the punishment of the grave and the punishment of the hellfire. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant relief to the Muslims, wherever they may be in the earth, especially in Palestine and Gaza, and in other places, whether in Yemen or Sudan or Syria or Iraq, Afghanistan, and in the non-Muslim countries in India and Burma and China, and in other places, every place in the earth. May Allah grant relief to the Muslims who are being persecuted, who are being slaughtered, who are being murdered unjustly, and Muslims who are in difficulty. May Allah grant relief to the Muslims. And may Allah compensate us in this world and in the next, as only He can. And may Allah grant us success in showing gratitude for His favors upon us. Those of us who are living in ease and in comfort and in safety and security, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us success in being grateful and in utilizing these blessings that we have of security and safety and comfort, utilizing it in a way that's pleasing to Him by using it to seek knowledge and to act upon that knowledge and to call others to it. Ameen. Ya Rabbal Alameen.